you know there's more to this world than what you're told. Paranormal phenomenon, supernatural forces, government conspiracies, alien visitors. Step out of the world you see, open up your mind, and get ready for another round of strange at the Supernatural Radio Show with Corrine DeWinter and Nino Del Padre. Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. Listen up, world.
Hello. I'm Charlene Walking Thunder. It is hard for me to speak because my jaw was broken and has never been healed properly. When I first met my husband, I thought he was the most wonderful man in the whole world. He'd say those things to me that made me feel beautiful inside. We have 4 children, 3 boys and 1 girl. The first couple of years were pretty good, but then he started drinking, and he began to change. Oh, you could feel the anger in his voice. And he would say things to me that made no sense at all. And this really hurt my feelings. Oh, and little by little, he seemed to find fault with everything I did. And he put me down. Eventually, the anger in his voice was followed with pushing me and slapping me around. Usually after coming home, really drunk. Sometimes I wish I could just stick my kids and get away. Just go. You know. But I don't know where I would go. There are no jobs anywhere around here. How would I take care of my kids? The oldest one is only 8. Oh. Anyway, I'm scared of him. He'd probably just find me anyway and drag me back or kill me. And then what would happen to my kid?
My name is Tiffany Moose Kettle, and I am 15 now. I dance fancy shawls, or at least I used to. I was really good too, but my boyfriend Ricky made me quit. I guess I have to anyway pretty soon, because I got pregnant, and I think I'm about 4 months now. My mom and dad still don't know. Ricky doesn't want me going anywhere unless he's with me, because he says I flirt with boys, and he's always accusing me of cheating on him. He's in a gang, and one night we were partying at some people's house, and he got really mad at me because I was talking to one of his homies. He grabbed me really hard by my arm and pulled me outside, and then we left. I was crying, and the next day I had bruises where his fingers had dug into my arm. He said he was sorry, but I shouldn't have made him mad by talking to that other guy. Another time he slapped me really hard because he wanted some money my grandma had given me. He wanted it to buy some meth. I said no. My lip was busted and I got blood all over my shirt. Sometimes I just want to go to sleep and never wake up.
The winds of the high plains now blow upon my face and dry my tears.
A single drop of rain falling on a prairie brings a small bit of comfort where my battered body lies within our sacred Mother Earth. My spirit walks with all my grandmothers who have gone home, and I will cry no more.
And you just heard Why by Kathy and Lisa Gregory from the CD by Spirit Wind Records called The Color of Hope. And this was a CD brought out to benefit battered women. And we can thank Donald Black Fox for that as well. My guest tonight on Supernatural Radio is Donald Black Fox. And a little bit about Donald. He was born of Mi'kmaq and Cree heritage in 1945. He spent much of his life learning and teaching the ways and traditions of the indigenous people of North America. After leaving school at age 15, he began traveling the country with his band Creation, spending some years traveling and working with many of the stars of the 60s through the 80s. He spent time on Pine Ridge and Rosebud reservations. During the early 70s, he learned the ways and traditions of the Lakota people. Afterwards, getting clean and sober in 1984, he turned his life around and traveled with his adopted grandfather, Joseph Eaglehawk, learning all he could of Native spirituality. At age 48, he studied for and received his GED. Upon entering college in Boston, he earned two associate degrees, one in drug and alcohol counseling and one in human resources. In conjunction with his established degrees, Donald is the founder of Native Pride Foundation, an organization committed to helping those young ones who are having problems with drugs and alcohol. His work with the foundation also includes counseling in all areas of abuse. Donald also owned and operated Tribal Winds Native American Art and Crafts, a retail shop from 96 through 2002. And then Donald actually got into one of his real passions, music. He founded Ravenhawk Productions and Spirit Wind Records. He also took his drum group, the Thunderhawk Singers, to a NAMI nomination in 2001. In 2002, he was program director for NativeRadio.com. Working with Patrick Doyle, CEO and founder of NativeRadio.com, has given him new insight into the world of Native music. For the past 7 years, Donald has been working on building Spirit Wind Records. He's the announcer and executive staff member of the Native American Music Awards, which actually takes place next week. And he is the announcer of the NAMA show, has been the announcer for the past 3 or 4 years. He has been instrumental in getting the voiceover work done for presentation to the annual NAMA show. Last year, Spirit Wind Records relaunched their intention of bringing unknown independent Native artists to the forefront of the Native American music world. And the label has also submitted 10 of their artists for nomination in the NAMIs, and 6 of which were nominated. This was in 2009, and 3 won NAMI. So we are really pleased to have Donald Black Fox with us tonight, and we're going to talk about his wide and very, very interesting history in music, spirituality, and also the supernatural. So let's bring on Donald. And Donald, do we have you here?
Yes, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Well, I actually want to introduce you real quick to my co-host, Karen Kay, who's actually phoning in from Los Angeles. So Karen's going to be joining us in our discussion now. Karen, hello, how are you?
Hi, Corrine, and hi, Donald. It's an honor.
Hi. My pleasure, Karen. I'm a little jealous that you're out there in L.A., though.
Yeah, no yeah, kidding, it was, right?
It was about 85 today.
Oh, lucky you. Well, you know, it was like 70, almost 70 here. I think it was 70 here, so it wasn't too bad. But, okay, so Donald, we heard the opening track of the Color of Hope CD, and we know that you are the founder of Spirit Wind Records. Can you tell us a little bit about how you started the record label, why you started it, and your many compilation CDs for charity?
No, I can't.
Can you try?
I could try. Let's see, Spirit Wind Records started back in 1999, and the story goes that my drum group, the Thunderhawk Singers, had the great fortune of working with a fellow named Michael Maselli, who is a sound engineer for Nickelodeon and for all the Disney stuff that comes out.
Wow.
And we had the drum group, and we were singing, and we went to one of the lead singer, Mark, had invited us up to Connecticut, and we thought we'd do a CD in the living room just to see what would happen with it, how it would come out. And it came out great, and I decided that it should be submitted to the Native American Music Awards. However, in order to do that, you should have a record label. So hence started Spirit Wind Records, just for that purpose, to submit the CD to the NAMMIES.
Right, right. And you've been really fortunate with the NAMMIES, with your artists.
We have this year, as an example, we submitted 14 artist CDs to the NAMMIES, and 14 of them got submitted. Some in you know, other more than one category.
That's great. That's great. And so, is it May 10th is the NAMMI Awards, correct?
May 10th, exactly.
So
8 p.m. And by the way, people can watch it. For those that are listening, can watch it on the internet by going to NativeAmericanMusic.com, and there'll be a link there to click on. You can watch the whole show.
Cool. What time does it start, Donald?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
If I get there on time.
Okay, if you get there on time, right? It only starts when you get there. They call you the voice of God.
Well, not really. The voice of God, VOG, is a standard in the business. Anybody that speaks behind the curtain, that does voiceovers behind the curtain, is that's when they do the scripts. That's what they put on there, VOG, so that you know that it's your time to speak. Actually, now I've been for the last couple of years that they now have made me the voice of NAMA, which is the Native American Music Awards.
Okay, okay. So you're kind of like you're behind the curtain speaking like the Wizard of Oz. So,
exactly. Nobody can see me.
Nobody can see you. But you're all powerful.
Well, I don't know about powerful, but it's rather, to me, it's an important job because it gets, you know, it gets people to know who's going to be on, what's going to be going on. And, you know, a nice introduction for people that have to come out on the stage.
Right. Now, later on, we're going to hear some tracks from the CD Tribute to Our Heroes, which was a CD brought out for the veterans of our country. And
exactly.
So, I mean, you've got all these great artists lending their talents and donating songs to your CDs. I mean, I think this is fantastic. If anyone wanted to get a CD, and there's also there's the Color of Hope CD, there's Tribute to Our Heroes, and there was one more, wasn't there?
Well, there's a couple more. There's Rise Up. What we did is 5 years ago or so, we decided that it was time for Spirit Wind Records and the artist to give back, you know, for the blessings that they received. In the music industry. The first CD we did was, I did it in conjunction with Jan Michael Looking Wolf. It was called Rise Up, and it was to raise money for local homeless shelters. And the way it worked is each artist, every 3 months, every quarter, would pick a shelter in their area, in their hometown, or in the area, a shelter of their choice. and Spirit Wind Records would send a check of what was sold for that 3 months.
Wow. Right.
So we've done Rise Up, we've done The Color of Hope, we've done the new one, which just came out this year, a tribute to our heroes. And, you know, it's strange because people don't really understand. You know, compilation CDs, for the most part, for a lot of record labels, are very difficult to do because a lot of the artists, they just, you know, they do and they don't want to, you know, contribute a track because, you know, they're going to be losing money and on the track. But, you know, when we did the Rise Up CD, I put the word out and immediately had 21 artists, you know, fill the CD. As a matter of fact, one of them, Felipe Rose, that does the last song, I heard about it at the last minute and, you know, just told me he had to be on it. You know, Felipe is the Indian from the Village People.
Right,
so
right.
We've got Top Entertainment. And, you know, and it wasn't a thing that I had to beg. I put an email out to everybody that said, anybody interested in donating a track, let me know. We'll, you know, and that's what happened. Now, The Color of Hope, on the other hand, I put an email out and I got no response. You know, and I told them what it was about for the to raise money for domestic violence shelters. Women's shelters, and I got no response at all. So I brought on a co-host, Kelly Montijo Fink, and she sent an email out, and the next day the CD was full.
Wow, yeah. It's a fantastic, yeah, it's a fantastic CD, and I've yet to hear the other ones so far, but I think it's great what you're doing, Donald. I mean, this is just really, you know, we need this. We really need this. Now, Donald and I had a couple conversations in the past week, and, you know, I am very, I was telling Donald that I think it's really a crime, and it's disgusting how Native Americans would be compartmentalized, and that, you know, we just seem to have really... Give you know what us white people have really just shame on us for what we did to the Native Americans when we got to this country and all that, but whatever. But Donald, so you're very very peaceful about that attitude. Like you know, I know there are some Native Americans and. As we were saying that, you know, Donald was saying, well, everyone here that was born in America is a Native American, you know. So when I said to you, I'm just a little white girl, but I'm still angry, you said to me, why? I mean, don't, you know, tell me what your opinion of that is.
Well, you know, I first of all, the title Native American was put on the indigenous people of this country because, you know, they started putting tags on like a Native African, Afro-American, Jewish American, Latino American. And I guess they just said, well, we better put a tag on for the Indians, which that tag wasn't correct either. But they put that tag on some Native Americans. And now we became Native Americans. What they were trying to say is indigenous people, because that's what we were, indigenous people of this country. You know, we were the first people of this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when people come off and I hear that, you know, the white man did this and the white man did that, the white man did this and the white man did that, well, that's somewhat true, but not all true. You know, I mean, we had minds of our own. We could, you know, we could have avoided some of the things that went on. And it's like anything else, you know, if you go to another country, somebody took over that country. Somebody came in,
right.
You know, and took over. So when people tell me that, you know, first of all, when they apologize to me for what they did, you know, to my people, I tell them, what did you do? as an example, Kareem, what did you do to my people?
Well, I don't know, I guess. I didn't personally do anything, but, you know.
All right, so, yeah, and I understand that. But my point is that I think there's too much apologizing on one side and too much of what the white people did to the natives here. You know, there's just too much of it. It's all done. It's all in the past. I mean, I'm sure, you know, my spiritual grandfather, who's 98 years old, has told me many times that our ancestors have forgiven what happened. You know, it's time to move on. You know, we're all people. You know, if you put your hand up in front of you and I put my hand up in front of me, tell me what the difference is.
Right. Yeah.
There is no difference. We're all five-fingered human beings.
Well, you're
you know?
Living more
and
in the present. You're living in the present, which I can appreciate, and it makes a lot of sense to me, as opposed to living, apologizing for our ancestors.
I think that what has to happen is we have to forget what happened in the past and move on to the present. And, you know, as an example, the some of the reservations are like living in a third world country. Well, you know, if everybody wants to apologize and you know, say they're sorry for what they did, let's all get together and help those reservations. Let's make them
right,
a better place
right.
to live. Let's educate the young ones that are on the reservation. You know, let's
right,
get them
yeah.
off there and get them into schools. That's how we could pay back and apologize for what was done.
Right. Yeah, and you're certainly taking steps toward that. I mean, the CDs that you put out and your organization that you have, I mean, I congratulate you for really doing a great job and so worthy. Donald, you had a shop in Salem, or was in Salem, Mass, right?
Salem, Mass, right.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, we talked a little bit about it, but this is where the sort of strange, very fascinating story that Donald has about living in Salem and something that occurred there. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I had my original store was in Rockport, Mass, which is a couple of towns over from Salem. And as we grew, the store got small. And we decided, I have a silent business partner, and we decided it was time to make a move, but where were we going to make the move? And he lives in Salem, and I said, well, let's try Salem, take a look through Salem. And I went down, and I met with a friend, and we toured Salem. I had known about Salem, had been there before. And we found a store there. There was a nice location and a good store. And I decided to move the store there. Well, I got a little bit of flack from some people because it was like, why are you moving a native store which celebrates native spirituality into a, you know, a witch area? You know, and I knew like Laurie Cabot. Laurie Cabot was a friend of mine, and you know, people disagree on things. It's all spirituality is different. Everybody has their own opinion on their spirituality. But if you really look at it, it all comes down to one spirituality, and that's the Creator. You know.
Right. Yeah.
So I moved the store there, and I started getting not strange feelings, but different energy. I started feeling different energy, and I remember there was one area that I used to walk through, and it was a cemetery where all the witches that were hung are buried, and they have these benches all along. The perimeter, where you can sit and meditate or think about what's going on. And I think I was there about 5 days, and I was walking by. I was going over to the drugstore, and there was a woman sitting there, strangely dressed. She was dressed like, I guess, what they call goth now. But I said hello, and she said hello, and she kind of waved me over. And I went over, and I sat down, and I talked to her. And she was telling me, you know, you've got a new store here, I understand, and, you know, you're going to feel different energies, and you know, but everything's going to be fine. You're going to do well. Make a long story short, I would talk to her probably every week or so. As I went by there, she'd be sitting there. I'd go over and talk to her. Well, I went over. I was walking by one day with the two people that worked for me at the store, and she was sitting there, and I said hello, and she said hello, and I said, how are you? And she said, fine. And I said, let me catch you on my way back. I'm in a bit of a hurry and like that. And the two people that I were with looked at me like kind of strange and said, who the hell are you talking to? There's nobody there. I mentioned to, she had given me her name, and I mentioned to Lori the name. I said, have you ever heard of this woman? I said, her name is Sarah Good. And she said, oh, yeah, Sarah Good was one of the witches that was hung.
Jeez.
And she said, why do you ask? And I said, because I talk to her. You know, every time I go by the cemetery, she's sitting there and I talk to her. And she kind of looked at me, but she looked at me saying, now you get it. Now you're getting, you're feeling the different energies.
Right.
You know,
feeling,
up here.
You're not
and,
feeling up. You're talking to the spirit, you're, the energies.
Well, I guess I was in the right place. My mind was in the right place to accept this. I mean, you know, how many people have walked by there? I don't think she's talked to everybody that walks by there.
No, I've been to that place a couple times, but certainly, Donald, I find that so amazing and interesting. And, I mean, the fact that you had actual conversations with her a bunch of times, you know, and I understand that you'll be coming back to Salem. Did you say next month or?
July 1st, I'll be back. Actually, I was there 2 weeks ago. And funny
mm-hmm.
thing is, I have my dear friend, who's actually in the chat room, I see, Two Trees, my brother from another mother. I went down to visit with him. We had some business to take care of because I'm opening an office in Boston. And I took one day, and I met with a friend of mine, and we spent a little time together. Then I decided to take a tour through Salem because I hadn't been there in like 8 years. And, you know, I went over by the cemetery, and, of course, Sarah wasn't there, you know. But, you know, I looked around and saw the changes that were made. So, you know, does Sarah show up all the time? No. You know, I'm sure she's got other things she's doing. But your mind has to, I believe your mind has to be spiritually in tune with what's going on around you in order for something like that to happen.
Right. She must, and thinking that she must have been so happy that someone could actually see her and to have, she could have a conversation with someone. Although you say, you know, would you say that you were, you know, privy to this kind of information in your life all the time or?
No, well, you know, yes and no. I grew up, as a young boy, talking to trees and spending time in the woods and talking to the birds and like that. But, you know, never, you know, maybe making up answers in my head, you know, when I say hello to a tree, I'd say hello back to myself, you know. And I could very well have been that they were, you know, the trees were, because everything's living in, as far as I'm concerned. So I spent a lot of time like that. Now, when I moved to Rockport, I was in college in Boston. When I moved to Rockport, I felt a whole different energy. You know, it was right on the ocean. It was the last stop on a train from Boston. You couldn't go any further. So I spent a lot of time around the ocean and the energy that the ocean has and the energy that the people in the town, it's a small town, it's a tourist area. In the winter, there's nobody there but, you know, the locals. And we're right in that path of Salem, you know, Salem and then two towns and Gloucester and then Rockport.
Right.
So the energy, I started feeling energies. One of the things that happened was a friend of mine from England decided that he wanted his wedding to be done here in the United States in the native way. So we got a hold of a local elder who said that he would do it. You know, he would do the ceremony. And as the ceremony went, you know, I could feel a lot of different energy. Now, we went up to, after the ceremony was done, I said we needed to go up to the point, what we call the point. It's the rocks that overlook the harbor. And we went up there with, there was seven of us. It was a psychic woman from London, Angela. There was another psychic woman, I think she was from South Carolina. And we get up there, and it was windy, it was cloudy. We get up to the top of the cliff, and the sun came out, and the wind died down. You know, we did our little ceremony, and each of the psychics did what they do. Actually, one of them, I think her name was Mary from South Carolina, she started speaking in tongues.
Wow.
It was really strange. But the energy was, make a long story short, that's where I started to really feel different energies. And I got to meet different people, you know, from, I met Lori Cabot, who came into my store a few times. And I, what I liked was that it seemed like everybody was on the same level.
Right, right.
You know, it wasn't, I'm a psychic, I'm better than you, or I'm a witch and I'm better than you, or you're not a witch. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
everybody seemed
right.
to be on the same level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was quite the, it was a good time for that, I think, too. You know, now when you come back, you said you're going to establish a, some sort of business in Boston?
Well, no, we're going to add a media consultant to our firm, to the Spearwind Records, and she's located in the Boston area.
Okay, yeah.
So she'll be running an office out of Boston, out of the Boston,
right.
Boston area.
Right. Now, the song that I would like to play, or one of the songs I would like to play, and it's going to be later on, is actually sung by a six-year-old girl. She was 6 years old at the time, Noelle Miracle. And she sings Amazing Grace in the Mohawk language. And it's amazing. When you guys hear it, it's just really amazing. And I do want to play a quick song, and it's going to be from the Color of Hope CD by Sayani, and it's called Break Away. So we'll be back in just about 4 minutes, you guys. Thank you.
Cover every trace of the bruise upon the cheekbone from his heavy hand last night. She wondered what she'd done and if she'd ever, ever get it right. She closed her eyes, remembering the word her father said so many years ago, when he wished that she were dead, and she cried, cried, she cried. Sometimes he'd ignore her, but mostly he was cruel. He beat her with the belt, he said, because she broke the rules. The first chance that she got, she packed her bags and ran away and moved in with a stranger just to have a place to stay. But he used her and abused her like her father had for years. And today it's hard to see through the swelling and the tears when she cries, cries. Leave you crying like a baby if you stay. Hey, hey, break away. Lying on the counter, she saw the butcher knife and picked it up determined to end this hopeless life. But a baby's cry pierced through her thoughts. The knife fell on the floor. She realized that her baby girl deserved to have much more. She grew up believing that a mama didn't care. She couldn't do that to a child. She could never leave her there. She cried your heart, tear you apart, leave you crying like a baby if you stay. Hey, hey, break away. Your way,
your way,
your way,
your way.
Hey, yeah, hey, hey.
The song Breakaway from Sayani on the Color of Hope CD, put out by Spirit Wind Records. And we are speaking with Donald Black Fox. And Donald, so we were also talking a little bit about what you term to be spirit releasing ceremony. We were talking about the 9/11 incident and something that happened during that, which I found very interesting. Can you share that with us?
Sure, that's called the releasing of the spirit ceremonies that most tribes do. We feel that we don't want to have the spirits hanging around here. You know, it's much easier to get in touch with them when they're on another plane, when they're where they're supposed to be.
Right.
You know, I don't believe that the spirit is supposed to be hanging around this plane where they've spent, you know, however long, how many years on this plane. They don't need to be here roaming, you know, trying to find their way out. So they do a releasing of the spirit ceremony. I was asked in 2001 by my elder that I wasn't asked, I was actually told, but he said that a releasing of the spirit ceremony needed to be done for those that passed over at the 9/11. And this was like, 4 weeks after it happened, you know, after the whole thing went down. So I, when I got to the Native American Music Awards that year, I asked, there was eight of us, myself, the singer, the lead singer from my drum, and it was six other people of different tribes. And we went up to the highest point. We were in Albuquerque, New Mexico, went to the highest point of Sandia Mountain. As you look down, you can see the whole of the city of Albuquerque. And anyway, we went up there, and we got there. And again, it was one of those days. It was just cloudy, and you know, it was a little cool. So we started drumming up at the top of the mountain after we settled in. And all of a sudden, the skies parted, and the sun came out. And it stayed out during the whole ceremony. You know, we did the releasing of the spirit. And I asked Creator to give us a sign that the spirits were released. And I told him the sign I wanted, that I would like to see, is an eagle and a hawk. So we did the ceremony, make a long story short. Each tribal member of their spoke their language, and they did a prayer in their language, you know, for the spirits. We got done, and the clouds came back. And we sat around singing, you know, we decided to do some singing up there while we were there. And all of a sudden, one of the ladies, I think she was from the Chippewa tribe, she said, look up in the sky. And we looked up, and there was an eagle and a hawk flying together across the sky. So we knew, you know, we knew our journey, what we did was complete, and the spirits had been released. But like I said, they do that, you know. I know for one thing, if and when I pass over, I don't want to be here. I've been here long enough.
Right.
You know, I want to go see what it's like on the other plane somewhere else, you know.
Yeah. That's really cool, though. I mean, because that's such a specific sign to see. It's not like you're saying, let me see a bird fly by or something. It's like actually an eagle and a hawk together, kind of, you know what I mean? So it's really, that's really neat.
That's what I do.
Go ahead.
If I do anything, if I do ceremony, I want a sign so that I know that it went through. You know, if I have to make a major decision about something, I ask for a sign. As an example, we were going up to New Hampshire, and I had something on my mind, something I needed to take care of. But I wanted to have a sign that would tell me that it's okay to go ahead and do it. You know, and I asked for one, and I asked to see a raven and a hawk, and I was with my friend Two Trees and my friend Laura. And all of a sudden, Two Trees looks out his windshield. He said, "Look up in the sky," and there was a hawk and a raven flying together, which they never do. They chase each other, but they don't fly together.
Right,
so I knew at that point the decision that I had to make was okay to make it.
Right. Jeez. And I mean, you have such a huge history in the music business, and. Actually, Donald told me a funny story earlier about we know that, you know, you're clean and sober since 1984, correct? Or what was it? Okay.
Yep.
But was a time that you hung out in bars, and I just want people to hear this story because I was like, it just is so funny and kind of wonderful. Can you tell us that story about hanging out in the bar in New York? What bar was it? Oh, the Chicken Shack. And then you went to, I'm sorry, I can't remember what the bar's name was.
There was no, I didn't tell you the name of the bar.
Oh, okay.
No, the story goes, you see, I when I got clean and sober, I made up my mind that I wasn't going to let, you know, the alcohol or the drugs get to me anymore. But that didn't mean that I couldn't hang out, you know, in places that I used to or in places that I wanted to. I mean, every now and again, I'll go out with, you know, some people here in town, and we'll go out to the local bar up the street, you know, and hang out for, you know, couple. But I'll drink Coke, so I'm, you know, I'm beyond that. But this, when I was drinking, early on, this person's career, probably just starting out, we hung out at a bar, and the name of it was Scully's, by the way. That a friend of mine owned. And on Saturdays, you know, a bunch of us on our bikes would go up there and would sit there from 11 o'clock in the morning till, oh, I don't know, probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then we'd head out to Lake George and we'd go get some, you know, some lunch. And then we'd come back when the club was open at night and spend the night there. Well, the owner used to put up a bottle of Southern Comfort on my table.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I was drinking at the time. And this one Saturday, he put the bottle up on the table, and we were all talking, chit-chatting. And this woman came by, young girl came by, and she took the bottle and started walking away. And I got all tipped off about it. You know, so that's my bottle, blah, blah, blah. And the owner came over, and he said, "Don't worry about it. I'll get you another bottle. She's with the band. Let's, you know, let's not make any waves, or we won't have a band tonight." I said, "Fine." So it came to be around 2 o'clock, and we announced, "All right, we're headed up to the Clam Shack," which was up in Lake George. "We're going to take our ride to the Clam Shack, so let's go. Anybody wants to go, let's go." And this girl that took my bottle came up and said, what's going on?" I said, "Well, we're heading out to, you know, we go up to the Clam Shack and have lunch, and then we come back here." "Oh," she said, "can I go? How can I go? Is there anybody I can ride with?" And I bit my tongue, and I said, "Yeah, you can ride with me." So we went up and we had our clams and whatever they had, and you know, her and I got to talking about her music and this and that. Make a long story short, that night they introduced the band, and they introduced Big Brother and the Holding Company, featuring Janis Joplin.
Karen, isn't that amazing?
That's incredible.
I know. I said, "How cool is that? Janis rode on the back of my bike." I think that is the coolest thing, you know.
Awesome.
Well, you know, I've been in and out of the music business for 50 years, thereabouts. I've worked with some. I worked started my career working with James Brown for 5 years as a warm-up band, front band. And through that, I get to meet a lot of people, you know. And you know, when I start talking to people and start saying who I met, and you know, that's name dropping, you know. Well, you know, they're like anybody else. If people would realize that, they'd probably, you know, get along better.
Right.
You know,
right.
James Brown was no better than me. We shopped at the same stores. We, you know, we put our pants on the same way. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens to be that some people, for whatever reason, make it bigger in whatever business they're in. I mean, I'm sure there's people that could tell you that they sat at a bar getting drunk with I don't know, Bill Gates. You know,
right.
And they go, "Oh, you know Bill Gates?" You know, it's like we're all at the bottom at one time.
I can't imagine Bill Gates sitting at a bar getting drunk, though.
No, he was probably sitting at a bar getting high, you know, in those days. But you know,
right.
it goes back to who it's. You know, everybody can know everybody. I mean, you know, like I said, these movie stars and big stars. You know, Stevie Tyler with Aerosmith is a close friend. I've known him for years. He lived, you know, one town over from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
So you know, and his name wasn't even Stevie Tyler then. You know, so
right.
He hit it big and he got big, but you know, he's still a friend of mine. You know.
Yeah. I just think that's neat. Go ahead.
I see a couple of people in the chat room I'd like to say hello to.
Okay.
If I may.
Sure.
We have Curious Times. Chris from up there in Canada, hey?
Yeah,
she's
hey.
Here. she's got her show every night at 10 o'clock. Anybody wants to have some fun, just tune into that, Curious Times. And we have DeCastro, my buddy Stan from Ohio. Phil and I went out to meet him. What a wonderful man. Great guy.
Yeah.
Two guests and my brother from another mother, Two Trees.
We got
quite a few in there. Yeah, Two Trees. And like I said, we met that. Actually, Two Trees and I drove out to meet with Stan and had a wonderful. He had a store at the time. He's since closed, but we had a wonderful time there. It was just absolutely great. Great day.
Yeah. That is great. Yeah. So, you know, Curious Times goes on at 10 o'clock Eastern.
Yep.
But yeah, definitely tune into her show. She's a lot of fun. She's great to listen to. And I want to thank you guys too for listening. Now, Donald, can we talk a little bit about Leonard Peltier?
Leonard Peltier, do I know him?
Yeah. I mean, I think you do.
Yeah. Leonard Peltier is a whole story in itself. I met Leonard on Pine Ridge many years ago in the 70s. He's been in prison for the last 25 or so years for something that he absolutely didn't do. The FBI came flying onto Pine Ridge at an area called the Jumping Bull Compound. And mm-hmm. there was a shootout. And two of the FBI agents got shot. They were killed. And three guys, they were chasing, actually, what it was, they were chasing a van. Or it was actually a pickup. They said it was a van, but it was a pickup, thinking there was explosives on the pickup. And they chased them into the reservation, which they shouldn't have done because they don't have any business going on to the reservation like that, you know?
Right.
To make a long story short, now, Leonard went off to Canada, and the two other guys who were with him got acquitted from, you know, for the shooting. So he felt that if they did, he would also. So he came back on his own rather than be extradited. He came back on his own and went to court, and they found him guilty and gave him life in prison. So we feel that he was a scapegoat. That was the government had nothing. The government couldn't do it. Couldn't prove anything. So we have to pin it on somebody.
Right. So I mean, did they really trumped up the charges? Because there was absolutely, as I understand, no evidence, real evidence, that he killed the agent.
No, there wasn't. There was a rifle that supposedly he shot the agents with because Leonard owned a rifle. Well, one of the things, and I don't remember her name, it may come to me, but there was a young lady there who went forth as a witness, went to the FBI and said that Leonard did the shooting. And it was Leonard and the rifle and blah, blah, blah. And then a few years later recanted and said she was lying. That was just a lie.
Oh, my God.
It was something she made up. She wasn't. How do you say it? She wasn't very well in the head. She was a little off.
Oh.
But, I'm sorry. We didn't go to Ohio. We went to Pennsylvania to see Stan. Sorry, Stan.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Like,
yeah, really. She came forth that she was the one that they said, you know, and we all also think that she was coerced because she wasn't right in her, everybody knew it, she just wasn't right in her mind. I don't think she could have made something like that up on her own. But anyway, make a long story short, a few years later, she came forth and said, no, that was not true, that didn't happen, I was forced to say that. And, of course, that didn't do any good. You know, he's still there.
Right. So I've had this conversation with a couple of people. They think if the government was ever to release Leonard, then they would just have to explain a whole lot. So,
well, they'd have to prove to the people. It would prove to the people that they made a mistake, and the government doesn't make mistakes. You see?
Right. Right.
So why let him out have to go around? And you're right. There would be a whole lot of controversy. Number one. Number two, I feel, and a lot of my brothers, my native brothers and sisters feel, that he's done so much more, you know, out of prison than he would have ever done being out, just being out.
Right. So, but he's, you know, from what I understand, he's not very well right now. He's got, does he have diabetes?
Oh, we've all got diabetes. Most natives do. He didn't get a lot of good health treatment in prison, and I believe he's starting to now. But you know, it's like I believe that he's probably saying to himself, "What do I want to go out now for? I've been here 25 years. I'm 61 years old. What have I got? You know, I'm doing more good," which he is, and which he has. He's done more good from prison than he would have ever done on the outside.
Right. But, I mean, still, I mean, the poor guy, he's got to want to be the hell out of that place. I mean, I hear that, every time something happens, like they put him in solitary confinement or something, if there's like a national issue going on, they put him in solitary confinement.
No, that's all rumor.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's all rumor. You know, what do they do to Leonard Peltier? The only one that can tell us that is Leonard.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So
there's been times when he had health issues that they didn't take care of, and other things like that. But you know, it's what they're doing to him. You know, you hear the stories. You know, they do this, like you just said. I haven't heard that, but they put him in confinement. Everything every time something comes up. I don't believe that. You know, and I haven't heard that come out of Leonard's mouth. You know, in any of the newsletters or anything. So.
Right. I looked up how to send him something, and what it instructed was that you could only send letters or paperback books.
Yeah.
Is this true?
Probably. Probably. They may have their own system there, you know.
Right.
You know, I've sent Leonard music, so I don't know. You know, I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear that he didn't get it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. No, I just imagine they probably.
Like I said, it's like I said. Leonard is he's probably my age now, and you know, you get to the point where you've done this for 25 years. What would he do on the outside now? In reality.
Well, eat good food for one. You know.
Well, I'm sure he eats. You know, you look at him. He looks healthy. I think at this point in time with Leonard, I think he's getting a different treatment than he was in the beginning. You know, in the beginning it was all political. You know, and I think they've gotten away from that. He's there. You know, there's been three presidents that were going to pardon him. None of them did. you know.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so,
right.
I mean, and I'm sure he's adjusted and acclimated himself to the fact that he may never get out.
Right, right, right.
You know?
I just think it's really a shitty thing that he's still there, you know?
Well, it is, you know, and it's a shitty thing if anybody went through that. You know,
yeah.
Native or white. And you know, we just had a case up here where I'm at of a gentleman that just got out of prison after serving 31 years in prison for something he didn't do, and they now just found out that, in fact, he didn't do it.
Jeez. Yeah.
You know, and that wasn't a Native. That was a white man, you know. And he said the same thing on the news broadcast just a little while back. He said, I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, 31 years and doing one thing for 31 years is the one way. I'm out here now. I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right,
I think he said he's living with a brother, and he has a room, and he stays at his room.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I imagine it's pretty tough, you know, to come back out of the system and try to have a normal life. But I don't know, you know, it just, like, okay, so there's all these benefits for him, you know, like concerts and such to benefit him. I guess, you know, give him money for, you can't send a prisoner money, but you can send money for his legal aid.
Well, you can send money. You can't send money to a prison. You can send it, but it goes into a fund.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that prisoner's account. You don't send it directly to him.
Right.
Because, I mean, they have no, you know, they're not going to walk around with pocket change. There's no way to spend it, you know.
They raise
money to go in, and it goes into an account so he can buy whatever he wants, razor blades, food, whatever.
Right. Karen, what were you going to say?
No, I was just saying, what can he use it for? And that's, he just answered.
And the other thing
right.
is, I mean, they're still trying to fight it. So there's a, you know, they have a legal defense that they have to pay. So that's what, you know, when they do fundraisers like that, the money goes towards the legal aspect. I mean, they've been fighting it for years, you know, and they still continue to fight it. So I'm sure somebody has to be paid for their legal services, whether it does good or doesn't good. You know, I mean, I feel that eventually he's going to walk out of there.
You know,
somebody's going to realize it. Oh, absolutely. Somebody's going to realize that, you know, this has gone on long enough. I mean, look at this guy. It was 31 years. The
right.
guy we just talked about, 31 years, and he walked out.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, I know, but Leonard is such a high-profile, you know, prisoner.
Well, he's only high profile because we made him that way.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if what had happened back then happened and he went to jail and nobody said anything, you know, if that girl hadn't come forth and then they found out that she was telling a lie, you know what I'm saying? That's what makes him high profile. If he had just gone in and nobody said anything, that would have been the end of it. Nobody would have, you know, Leonard would have been in jail. He would have been in jail.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, I hope you're right about him getting out one day, you know.
Oh, I'm sure something's going to happen. There's just things, you know, times are changing. You know, they're starting to realize that, you know, not in his case, but, you know, with DNA like this guy, they proved that he had nothing to do with it. So people, you know, the legal system is starting to look into things like that.
Well, it's about time, you know. I mean, I know that there's, you know, like you said, there's other people like that, you know, that have been in prison for a long time unjustly. But
Guantanamo.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to take a short break, and we're going to listen to a song called America Tribute. Is that the name of the song, by C.C. Murdoch?
That's the name, by C.C. Murdoch, exactly.
Okay, so we're going to hear that, you guys, and then we'll be back in about 3.5 minutes. Thank you.
beautiful, for he most pure. Liberating strife, more than self, our country love.
I didn't really hear the whole song before until just now, and I am just really floored. I mean, that was fantastic.
Well, I wanted Ray Charles did the original of that version of America, and I always liked it. And when we came up with the idea for the CD for the veterans, I definitely wanted to have it on it. We got in touch with the Ray Charles Foundation. Unfortunately, they just wouldn't give us permission to do it because, you know, it was copywritten through him. So I put the word out that anybody could do it in the same way, you know, or similar to the same way, if they could do it to do a track and let me know. And like a day later, CC sent me that track. And I've had people swear that it was Ray Charles until they heard certain segments into the song.
Right. No, that was really, really great. Shoot. And that is from CD, the tribute CD, Tribute to Our Heroes.
Yep.
And again, we want to direct people to the website if they want to get these CDs. And, of course, all the profits go to the said charities and the organizations that are chosen by any given artist that, you know, gets to choose where it goes to. And it's spiritwindrecords.us. Is that correct, Donald?
Exactly. That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, that was really what a treat to hear that. That was really good. Now, so what is Cece Murdoch doing now? I mean,
well, Cece Murdoch's doing all kinds of things. We call him the Indian E. He does a show, Elvis Presley show.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hear, actually, if you tune in to the Native American Music Awards, I believe he's doing a show. You know, part of a show that he's going to do three songs, you know, in succession. And he sounds just like Elvis.
Wow. So he can probably sound like anybody.
Well, that's it. He's got this gift that if he listens long enough, he can, you know, he can duplicate what the people are doing and the way they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he did that song in one. It was a Monday that I put the email out, and Wednesday evening I got that in the email. That song.
Wow.
Got the track.
Wow. That was really fortunate. You know, it's cool. You have a lot of artists on your label, and I know are you still actively seeking artists right now?
Oh, all the time, all the time. All the time. We're always looking for new talent.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about Native American music. As far as the traditional music, do you find that there's less and less interest in that being recorded, and the younger people are coming up with their, you know, the way they want to express themselves? Or, I mean, is there any danger for the more traditional music to kind of, you know, fade away?
No, that'll never happen.
Okay.
There's still people might. The thing you have to understand now, you named it, you called it Native American music. And for a lot of years, Native American music was drums, powwow music, and rattles, and flute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've broken in the last 10 years. We've got new artists out. We call it music from Native America. And, you know, the genres, you know, we've got rap and hip hop, we got rock and roll, we got blues, we got jazz. And we still have a lot of spiritual, you know, traditional music. We've still got people doing the powwow music. We've still got people doing flute music, you know, and drum music, rattle music and stuff like that. So it's around. It's going to stay around. It's been around forever. The thing is now what's happening is the people of the artists that are unknown that really want to make it in the industry, in the music industry, are now starting to come out. You know, over the last, I would say, 6 or 7 years, we at Native American Music Awards, we've gone from, you know, 6 categories to 31.
Wow.
So there's a lot of different music out there. I mean, you have a traditional flute player. One of my traditional flute players does jazz with the flute. You know, so it's not just strictly traditional. It's because, you know, they want to expand their minds, and a lot of them do that through music. And we have a rap and hip hop group from Pine Ridge Reservation that's really phenomenal. All their rap and hip hop are message things, you know, for the younger people, the younger kids on the res. So the people,
right,
are, you know, and you just listen to the CDs we get out. All those artists that are on there, well, the majority of them are now on The Color of Hope. They're all Native women. They're all women of a tribe, you know, different tribes.
Yeah.
And they're doing, you know, now Sayani's Cherokee. Now, you saw how they did. They mixed their Cherokee language into the song as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you listen
right
to the opening and the closing. And that's what's happening. People want to express through music, they want to express themselves more.
Right.
And
yeah,
I don't feel that the traditional music is going to go away.
And is it, how much does it differ from, you know, tribe to tribe? Are there, like, just, are, I mean, is there any kind of rivalry? You know, our music is better than your music. You know,
That's not going on. Actually, if you look at Sphere Wind Records as an example, we are a record company, but we are first and foremost a family. and all the artists, you know, we all get along, and they all get along together. They help each other out. You know, somebody might need a flute song for this, for the song they're doing. Somebody might need some drum added to what they're doing. And they all intermingle. They all do their thing, you know. It's not, you know, I'm better than you are, or you're better than I am, or I won this many awards and you didn't, you know. They sort of all try to, yeah, you know, if you go to a powwow now, today, or to a flute circle, you see all kinds of artists there that are just trying, you know, there is one. You know, they just want their music out there. That's their love, and they want to get it out to the public. And that's what we're trying to do this year. Actually, we're going to break into, major radio stations as opposed to Native American radio stations or Blog Talk radio stations. Right now I have music for my artists being played in London, England, Austria, Ireland, Paris, France, and Australia. And all but one of those are on major radio stations in that country. It's not, you know, like a native radio station or, you know, a blog talk. It's a national radio station.
Right. Yeah, that's fantastic, you know?
I was listening to some different YouTube music videos, and what struck me with a couple of them is how much some of the music reminded me of the music of Bali, you know, and I just think it's so interesting that different, totally different parts of the world have similarities. Do you have anything to add to that?
Truth be known is we all come from one place.
Right.
I mean, the indigenous people of America were not born here. You know, they came over the Bering Straits, you know. I believe we all come, at one point, we all come from the Asian community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as the people moved, as the Ice Age moved and the people moved, they just moved into different areas. And a certain amount of people wound up here in what we call America. And they, you know, they lived off the land here, and that was it. And I think that's like with every country, that, you know, excuse me. I think we came from one place and we just spread out. Like me moving from Pulaski, New York to Boston, Mass.
Right.
You know, but initially, I believe in the very beginning, you take America, I think America was nothing but nothing. There was nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe some animals and trees and that, but as far as people, I don't believe there were people here until they migrated here.
Right. And Karen, much like you just asked Donald, like about the different music with the different tribes, I was asking Donald about how many tribes are in existence right now. And Donald, you said about 500. Is that correct?
That's to my knowledge.
That's tons. Now, was it way more many tribes in the beginning?
I'm sure there might have been. You know, if you think about how it works with the tribes, the area I'm in, excuse me, I'm next to Syracuse, New York, and I'm about 31 miles from the Canadian border.
Mm-hmm.
And here in the area that I'm at, it's called, the natives here are called the Iroquois Confederacy,
mm-hmm.
which has six tribes. Now, the Iroquois Confederacy started out, they had a chief and a war chief, then they had a council, and then down the line from that, Benjamin Franklin and whoever else signed the Declaration of Independence came to what is now Syracuse. It wasn't, but it was now Syracuse. But they liked the way the Iroquois Confederacy was run, and that's how the United States government. Matter of fact, you have one of the songs I sent you was the history story.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a chance to play that, that will tell the whole story. That'll, you know, tell exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, which song was that, Donald?
That's the history story by Ken Quiet Hawk.
Okay. Okay, so that we fashioned our government on the basis of the Iroquois.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay.
While we're talking about it, if you bring that story up and let the people hear it, they'll understand exactly what it's talking about.
Yeah, you know what? I wish I could, but I don't think I downloaded that one. But we can get to it the next time. You know what I mean? I'm sorry about that. But that's good to know. I mean, we'll get to that the next time because I do want to have you back on again. I hope you all grace us with your amazing presence, Wizard of Oz, next time. But, you know, but also, Donald, I was saying, like, the differences in the tribes. I said, well, are all the tribes, do they all have, you know, obviously they all have different languages, right?
Well, they all have different languages. They all have different ways of doing things. I mean, if you think about it, the Italians do things different than the Germans. The Germans do things different than the Austrians. You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
right.
Within the tribes, it's the same thing. They all, some of the things, the spirituality is 90% the same. They all believe in the same thing. They all worship the same thing. But it's like anything else. If you came from Italy, you didn't do the same thing the Germans did. You know, you didn't cook the same foods. You didn't. So yeah, within the tribes, it was all different.
Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up near, and I'm still here, near Deerfield. And I remember when I was in grade school going to see the houses, and one symbol remains with me is the hatchet or the whatever it was in the door of a house because of the attack. And so I was just never,
you like, can understand, people talk about Native America like it's a beautiful thing, but if you really look back in time, they were no different than they were fighting amongst each other. They were killing each other. You know,
right.
I mean, it's not something that just came about, you know, over the last few hundred years. They've been doing that for years, fighting with each other, and it's standard. I mean, that's what they're going to do.
Right, right.
You know, you're on my land. No, you're on my land. You know, well, we're going to have a battle, you know.
Right. I know, you're right, because now, Don, it's like I think of Native Americans like, oh, peace and, you know, wisdom. And
well, you know, it's becoming more and more that the Native people, the younger people, are starting to realize that a lot of the things that the elders told them are true to fact. You know, they all have their ceremonies. They all worship the same thing. They all worship the Creator. Mother Earth, Grandfather Sky, you know, it's an earthbound, let's say it's an earth, not earthbound, but I can't think of the word now, but it's earthy. It's an earthy thing, you know.
Right.
If you put the, not the pagans, what's the other religion in Salem? I can't think of it now.
Wiccan?
The Wiccans. If you look at the Wiccan ceremonies and you look at the Native American ceremonies, and now they're from two different parts of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Earth-based,
right.
That's what I wanted. It was earth-based religion. If you put those two together and you let them each do a ceremony, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. You wouldn't tell who was the Native and who was the Wiccan.
Right, right. Yeah. So, I mean, what is a truism for, like, you say that's the truism in every tribe, that they have this base earth religion.
Yeah, they do. They, you know, the theory within a lot of the tribes, I would say 99% of the tribes, is, you know, we're all the same. We're all related. You know,
right.
Do we all get along with one another? Well, just look into your own family. How many times did you have arguments with your parents or with your children, with your brothers or your sisters?
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, we're still all related. We're related to the trees, we're related to the Grandfather Sky, Mother Earth, to the Creator, to each other, to the animals.
Right.
You know, we're all one.
Right. That's very true. Tell us a little bit about your spiritual grandfather.
My spiritual grandfather. His name is Joseph Eagle Hawk. I met him 40-odd years ago. Now, I come from the Mi'kmaq and the Cree Nation, although I don't follow the Mi'kmaq traditions because, to me, they're too Catholic-oriented.
Oh.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
I met... Go ahead.
Oh, just how do you mean that?
Well, if you look at their thinking, is more Catholicism than it is, you know, of their own spirituality, or the other spiritualities.
Rigid, more rule based.
Yeah, they're very exactly.
And the Pope? Exactly. Do they believe in the Pope or not? Or
I would assume. I don't know. You know, but I know that they're very. Their spirituality is totally different from, you know, the earth-based spirituality. That's the point.
Hmm.
And I met with I had a friend of mine who was a good friend of Joseph's, and I met with him and we started talking. He started teaching me the Lakota ways. That's his tradition. His tribe is the Lakota, and I started learning that. And you know, and he always told me, you know, he says, what you're learning is what every other tribe would be teaching, only in maybe in a different way, but it all comes down to the same. You know, so I started following that spirituality, and you know, and Joseph and I, like I said, we've been together 40 odd years, 45 years or so, and he's my spiritual grandfather. If I have questions, if I have things that are bothering me, something I need to discuss, I contact him immediately.
Right. And he is 98 now, is that correct?
98 years old, just finished teaching. He's in Australia now. He just finished teaching. I think it was last year or the year before. He was teaching at the University of Melbourne.
Oh, and wow.
And now he lives out. And now he lives out in the bush. And I don't even know who the tribe is, but one of the Aborigine tribes out there. He's been out in the bush for over a year. You know, that's what he said. That's where I want to spend the rest of my time there, and that's it. You know.
Wow, that's neat. Well, I'm sure you'll continue to hear from him even when he passes away. You know.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he told me a while back, he says, don't forget, when I pass over, release my spirit so I can come back and kick you in your butt.
Yeah. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, no problem, you know.
Right, no
and
problem.
There's something to be said. There's something to be said about that. There are people who have spiritual, you know, whether it be animals or people that... that they lead on in times of, you know, troubles or problems or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all lead on the Creator, you know. We all pray to the Creator. So
right.
We're leaning on Him for, you know, for something.
Yeah, for sure.
Not to say that grandfather's any powerful, you know, any powerful medicine man or anything. He's just another human being who happens to have a lot of knowledge.
Right. But how wonderful it is that you met him and that, you know, he shared his wisdom with you. I think that's great, you know.
That was a blessing. Probably. You know, I was in the right time, and he knew, you know, I was still drinking and carrying on then, but I guess he saw something, you know, maybe he saw the future was going to be different than that. You know, and it's like I tell the kids when I speak to them, you know, they all say, well, if you were such a drunk and you did all these nasty things, how can you be here now and be such a nice guy? And it's like, you know, I told him, I said, well, I was told that I had to go through that in order for me to come and speak to you right now so that you know what I went through that you don't have to go through.
Right, yeah. And they respect that.
Well, absolutely. It gives them a sense of that they can accomplish something. You know,
mm-hmm.
no matter how bad it is, they have to go through it in order to be able to, at some point in some time, to be a better person and to, you know, whether it be raise a family in the right way or, you know, they've gone through it. They went through the drugs and they know that it's no good and it's not good for you. And friends of theirs, you know, died from it. And now they can share that to the next generation.
Right.
Because, you know, we're not going to be here. You know, when the next generation gets to be, who knows what it's going to bring.
Yeah.
But there's going to be people who are growing up now with good wisdom and good knowledge, and they're going to pass that on to the next generation.
Mm-hmm. So do you deal with kids often with your work, or?
I haven't in the last few years, but I did at one time was, you know, I was traveling around doing that. I do some counsel. Some, you know, kids will email me and we'll counsel over the phone. I do some counseling periodically at the church I belong to. You know, I do I have a self-esteem thing, that a program that I do, and some of the people at the church who suffer from low self-esteem, you know, I just try to bring them up to let them know that they're fine. You know, they can do whatever they want.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you go through life and people have told you, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. You know, when I was in grammar school, one of my teachers told me, he says, you know, you're going to be a bum the rest of your life. You're never going to accomplish anything because you're not going to school.
Mm.
You know, and in the beginning I went, wow, I'm going to work in a shoe shop the rest of my life. I'm never going to accomplish anything. And I had to break out of it. I had to, you know, somebody told me, and I couldn't tell you who it is right now, but somebody told me way back when, listen, you're better than you think you are.
Right.
You can accomplish anything that you want to accomplish. I don't care what it is. You want to be an astronaut, you can accomplish that. You want to be the president of the United States, you can accomplish that.
And then you could pardon Leonard.
There you go. The new generation coming up. And, you know, the thing that I'm liking about this whole new generation and all the electronics that's going on, there's things out there that I could have never, when I was a young man, I could have never found out.
Right.
You know, I mean, the information just wasn't out there. Now there isn't anything you can't find out.
I agree. Yeah.
You know,
that's why
I think that's...
What do you believe? It's hard to decipher.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, because there's so much information and so many different, you know, perspectives of things, it's hard to sometimes figure out what is true and what isn't.
Well, you find out the truth, you find out what you believe through how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can hear a story about something and say, I don't think that's so true. And you can hear another story about the same thing and say, you know, that hits more to home with me. I can understand that. So that must be true, you know?
Yeah, and I also think that there's no excuse now to be stupid, because the information is available. You know, it's like,
exactly.
You know, way back when we were younger, it's like, yeah, that was one thing, okay? Now you have no excuse. So.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to be stupid from here on in, because I look at, you know, when I go over to Dunkin' Donuts for my coffee periodically, and I see a six-year-old child sitting at the table drinking his hot chocolate and pumping out stuff on the computer, stuff that I don't even know about. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that it's a whole new learning thing that's going on. And, you know, 100 years from now, who knows what will be going on?
Yeah.
Right,
but you know what?
Right.
100 years from now, there's going to be three people like we are talking about things that happened in the past. You know, do you remember in 1999 when this was happening? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's going to be the same thing.
Right. Donald, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to play Amazing Grace by Noel Miracle on the CD, The Color of Hope. And you guys tune in next time. We're going to have Donald on again, so hopefully you'll tune in for that. And then let us know what you think. And thank you guys for listening.
But
and thank you for having me.
Oh,
blind, but now I
step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The Supernatural Radio Show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural Radio Show.